May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel reading. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, in this morning's gospel reading, we are presented by Jesus with three parables. The parable of the treasure hidden in the field, the parable of the pearl of great value or great price, and the parable of the good and the bad fish. And I want to throw in one more parable, as if we didn't have enough, and that is the parable from last week's gospel reading, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Just before our gospel reading this morning, Jesus explains that parable to his disciples, and I want to take these four parables together this morning. The parable of the weeds and the wheat and the parable of the good and the bad fish go together. They tell a similar story about the kingdom of heaven. Likewise, the parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl are related to each other, and they offer a different perspective on the kingdom of God. What do we learn from the parable of the wheat and the weeds and the parable of the good and the bad fish? We know that the wheat comes from the good seed that the farmer plants and corresponds to the children of God, those with faith in Jesus. And the weeds are the unbelievers. They are allowed to grow and exist together in the field of the world. We may have an idea of who likely is a weed and who likely is a stalk of wheat, but it's not our job ultimately to discern that. Our job, the church's function, is to continue to preach the things of God, to baptize, to call out sin and evil when we see it, to urge repentance, and to point the penitent to Jesus. We know that God's desire is that all would repent and believe the gospel, but the final judging is left to Christ and his angels. There may be someone who is a weed now, but by the power of God's Holy Spirit, becomes wheat and bears the good grain. And so we leave the final judging to the Lord. The reaper is the one who separates the weeds from the wheat. And it is our Lord who separates the righteous from the unrighteous. It is the same story with the good and the bad fish. The good and the bad fish are swimming together in the sea until suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, the net catches them all up. And again, it is the professionals, the fishermen, who separate the good fish from the bad. And so, Jesus says, that is like the last day when the angels will come, and they will separate out the unrighteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is one perspective on the kingdom of heaven. It's kind of a broad perspective. These two parables paint a big picture, a little bit impersonal perhaps, but we are to learn from them that vengeance belongs to the Lord. That we are not to be overly concerned about who is good and who is evil, but we are to be faithful. We are to continue to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are those about whom Jesus speaks at the end of our gospel reading when he says, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. we bring out the treasure of God's word to the world. But ultimately, we leave it up to Jesus to sort out who is who. He is the judge. And these parables also serve as a warning to us and all people on the reality of hell. When the reaper and the fisher of men comes, our Lord Jesus, may we be found among the wheat, among the good fish. Now consider the other two parables, the parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl, which offer a different perspective on the kingdom of heaven, one that is a little more personal, hits a little closer to home. And one way we can understand these parables is illuminated by Paul's words to the Corinthians in chapter 2. We have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure is the gospel. We are the jars of clay. In Colossians, Paul writes, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus says, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. The gospel of Jesus is a treasure. Jesus is a treasure. To know Jesus, to have faith in him alone, is worth more than anything else. It is a most valuable thing. We should be willing to give up everything, earthly wealth, a comfortable life, the love of this world, even life itself, instead of losing the gospel. As we have all affirmed or will affirm in our confirmation vows when we were asked this question, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And our response, I do, by the grace of God. Thus, in this perspective, the pearl and the treasure is the gospel. We are to value that above everything else. But there's another way to understand these two parables, and this is hinted at in our Old Testament reading this morning, when the Lord says, For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord refers to his people Israel, and therefore to us, as his treasure. Or consider what Jesus says about us. You are of more value than many sparrows. And it is in Luke that Jesus says, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It is always the Lord in Scripture who is doing the seeking and the finding. He finds the lost sheep. He finds the lost coin. He welcomes back the lost son who has squandered all of his father's wealth on unholy living in the parable of the prodigal son. He finds the man laying half dead on the side of the road, beaten up by robbers, and takes care of him in the parable of the Good Samaritan. He finds the treasure. He finds the pearl. He has found you. Now, as I'm told, merchants are typically in the business of making money. They buy things in bulk. They sell off the items individually to turn a profit. They find an item whose owner has undervalued that item and they purchase it in the hopes that they can sell it for what it's really worth. Or they find something that is of low value now, but they wager that in the future it will be worth much more. That's the business. They always need to be ready to make a purchase. They always need cash on hand when they find that good deal, when they find something that will turn a profit. But this merchant that is in our parable searching for fine pearls, he doesn't seem to be in the business of making money. He takes everything he owns and he sells it. He liquidates all of his assets. He gets rid of everything that he was hoping to turn a profit on in the future, and he sells it to buy one single pearl. He probably won't be able to resell it. What will he live off of now? It doesn't matter to him. That pearl is that precious and that valuable. Or consider the treasure in the field. It's lost. It has been long forgotten. There is no pirate map to get to the treasure. But a man found it. And realizing what he'd found, he didn't steal it. Instead, he buys the entire field to make sure there is no question that when he reveals the treasure, that it will be rightfully his. And like the merchant, he gives up everything he owns to buy that field. You and I, humanity, were lost. Lost in sin, lost in our own selfishness, lost in our evil desires, lost out in the field of the world. And to the world, we didn't appear to be of much value. We're told since we're very young that we're just animals, one step in an evolutionary chain. We're just here by chance, actually. In fact, our lives are less valuable than that of an endangered species. We're told that our faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus to forgive sins is just a fairy tale. That Jesus returning in glory to judge the earth and the resurrection of the dead, that's just a fantasy. Everyone knows that war or climate change or the sun exploding, that's going to be the end of us. And while we do live here, we're just interchangeable parts in a machine. We're just consumers to be manipulated for the benefit of the rich and powerful. We all wind up as worm food in the end. And we remain in this lost state until a particular man comes along. A man who looks at you, dusts you off, inspects you under his jeweler's loop, and decides that against all appearances, you are of inestimable value. And then he goes and gives up everything that he might purchase you for himself. He empties himself of the glory that is naturally and rightfully his. He leaves his native land and comes to this decaying world where you and I are. And he makes a transaction. He makes a purchase. For you were bought with a price. You were ransomed from sin, bought back from the power of the evil one, not with perishable things, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He gave his life as a ransom for you, as the price for you, his treasure, his pearl. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And Christ adorns you with his beauty, with his righteousness. As all brides are beautiful and all pearls are beautiful, so we, the church, the bride of Christ, radiate Christ's beauty, his purity, his holiness. We are his treasured possession, beautiful and precious to him. May we never lose the treasure of the gospel, that he has purchased you and promises you to keep you as his treasure in this life and for eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.